I invite you to turn your Bibles will to Job, the book of Job, chapter 42. The book of Job, chapter 42. I've been considering this passage recently, and the Lord just has burdened my heart with it. Brother Job was taken through a great trial. None of us would ever want to volunteer for such a thing. The Lord instituted this. He was the one that posed such to Satan and was looking to try his servant Job. There were things that Job needed to grow up in himself. The Lord ultimately took Brother Job to another level. I don't know how to say it, a higher plane of relationship with the Lord, understanding about the Lord. The Lord went ahead and blessed Job with a great abundance as he had before, but yet just gave him the same number of children that he had lost. Well, not lost, but the Lord had taken them on, I believe, to be with him. And so we see with Job a great trial, a great testing, and a great blessing that he had to go through, but none of us would ever want to go through that ourselves, and we just leave that. We leave that with the Lord. Brother Job is a saved man. The Lord refers to him as such from the beginning. He is his child. He is his son. He glorifies himself in his son. And then again, as I've mentioned, brings him on to a higher plane. But in this, after the Lord deals with Job, Job has a desire to speak before the Lord through several chapters. And of course, we know about his three friends. I trust you know about his three friends. We know about the young man that is there also that speaks words of wisdom that seemingly that are true. The Lord never refers to him. Job's three friends are referred to, and the Lord's got anger kindled against them, so they have an assignment if they want to get right with the Lord. But when the Lord begins to speak with Job over here in chapter 38, the Lord is going to bring this to an end and accomplish within Job what he is pleased. There's a great revelation of the Lord and who he is and to us, and would do well for all of us to read in those chapters as the Lord speaks out of the whirlwind and to him. And when it's all said and done in chapter 42, Job answers. And I believe what I've entitled the message for this morning is Brother Job declares the gospel. Brother Job declares the gospel. When the Lord speaks in the number of chapters before and asked Job some questions, which we'll touch on. Then Job answered the Lord and said, in verse number 1 of chapter 42, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. The Lord has rehearsed before Job all things, or many things, that he has done. And he starts off that telling of those things by asking Job, where were you when I did this? Or the things that I know? Or the things that I bring to pass? And in that, Job answers, I know that thou canst do everything. Isn't it so that in the days of the Lord Jesus becoming a man, the Son of God becoming a man, and as the Lord was working that Gabriel, the angel, spoke unto Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, and said unto her, even for a virgin to conceive, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Nothing. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Our Lord Jesus, when he is dealt with the rich young ruler, as we refer to him in Mark chapter 10. And the disciples, they asked Peter, I think, is there at the forefront and said, well, we've left all. What are we going to have? And he speaks about riches. The Lord speaks about riches and how it's impossible for rich men to enter into the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they ask him, say, well, Lord, who can be saved? And he answers in Mark 10:27, says, Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible for them to be saved, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So Job answers, and the Lord's speaking unto him in those several chapters before chapter 42. Job declares, I know thou canst do everything. And you know what? If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you need to believe too. You need to believe that he is the God of impossibilities and that he has done and can do everything. Because see, without doing so, how can a man be saved? Without understanding about who God is and his power, not in the ultimate detail, but to understand that God is there and we are sinners before God. A great chasm is between God and the unrepentant and unbelieving, the disobeyers of God's law. It's a wide gap. It's not a small gap. But one must believe that he can do everything. Again, Job is already a saved man, but he is brought to a point of review. And he's brought to a point to understand the greatness of God. It's so easy for us, especially in our culture and our society, that we want to take God and drag him down here to our level. But he is God Almighty. So again, if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to that fact that you need to know and believe that God can do everything. Also, Job says that no thought can be withholden from thee. We all of us need to know that, don't we? Reminded of that no thought can be withholden from God. That of all the billions of people that are in the earth and all the billions of people that have lived, God knows every thought past, every thought present, and can you get a hold of this? Every thought to come. He is God Almighty. As it says in Luke chapter 6, verse number 8, speaking of Jesus, and as there were those there, Pharisees, scribes, lawyers, and such, looking always to catch him in his words and to strap him over a barrel against the law of Moses and the word of God. But it says in Luke 6, verse number 8, but he knew their thoughts. And our Lord Jesus, with the glory and the power that he laid aside to become a man, to fulfill the things that the Father had given him to do, that he might be a suitable and the Savior of his people and of sinners, if he knew their thoughts as a man, having set those things aside, what indeed does he know now? He knew their thoughts and said unto the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Job says in verse number 2 that no thought can be withholden from thee. We kind of think, well, if we hold it in our heart and hold it in our mind, we've protected ourselves. Not with God. Not with God. You might ask, so Brother Jim, you're speaking about Job, but you're referencing these passages about Jesus in the New Testament. Well, understand, who was it that dealt with Job? Was it not the Son? It was the Lord, the Son in the whirlwind, as it was Moses in the burning with Moses and the Lord himself in the burning bush speaking with Moses, the references to the angel of God. What is it that the scriptures tells us? That rock from which Moses brought forth, the Lord brought forth the water, that rock is indicative of Jesus. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, that is the sun, was the sun. As the Lord appeared to brother Abraham on the way to Sodom, again, the Son of God. And so who was it that dealt with our brother Job? Oh God, it is true. But if we understand the scriptures correctly, it is the Son that was there. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. See, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so, Brother Job, he's brought to understand things in a more clear way and a higher understanding, and that he has made his complaint unto God, and we should well, and the things that we are troubled about, the things that we need answers for, it's not wrong to go with the Lord. Job maybe seems to have this idea that he could argue the course with God and come to a reason of why these things have come to him. I mean, can we imagine the loss, the death of 10 children for the sake of our own testing and trial? That is tall, isn't it? That is great. We love our children dearly, and for them to be killed, that our faith, our integrity, our desire for the Lord would be tested and tried, it's more, really more than we can comprehend. But that was the case with our brother. His wife was brought to such despair that she said to him, curse God and die. Just get it over with. She hated to see her. She was in grief, no doubt, for her children also, and in grief to see her husband suffer so and the destitution that they were left in. And Job said so many times, oh, if I could just speak to him and hear from him. And of course, his friends are there finding occasion regarding Job and laying fault at his feet. Job was not a perfect man. He was a sinner, just like all others. But what grief he bore. Job is speaking to the Lord. He says, I know you can do everything and no thought can be withholden from thee. I'm reminded of what it says in Colossians chapter 1. And speaking of this, about it being the sun there that is in the whirlwind, verse number 15 of Colossians chapter 1. Speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. He's before first. He's preeminent. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so the Lord, the Son, is dealing with Job here. And, And Job is speaking to him, and Job's heart has been touched, and Job has been helped. He's been changed. We see that in verse number 3 as we read on there in Job 42. And this can be a difficult passage possibly to understand, but with the Lord's help we can. Job is seemingly asking a question. It is a question that he's bringing forth. And he says, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge?" Understand, this is not a direct question that Job is asking, but he's replying to what the Lord has said unto him. It's like, it would be like if I would challenge one of my children about we would challenge our children and say, "Well, who got out the knife?" And we're asking that from the standpoint of we're displeased about them getting out the knife. They've disobeyed in getting out the knife. And then they would reply, "Who got out the knife? Well, let me tell you." Okay, that's the way that this is. Job is answering, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not." Job is confessing here. He's responding to a question that the Lord had answered him in the beginning of the Lord speaking to him directly and dealing with him. We see that in Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, when the Lord begins to deal with him and to bring this to a close. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, verse number 1, and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" The Lord is challenging Job, challenging his son there, and he's saying to him, "Who are you to try to be so dark in your counsel and in your wisdom, to have and to hold such a ununderstandable thing that you have done or said?" Because this darkeneth is a synonym for hide, or to make covered by darkness, by withdrawing the light. We can understand about it because of what the Lord says in the coming verses. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this," speaking to Job, "that is offering this dark and very not well understood counsel?" It's exceptional. The Lord's referring that he's a man that understands something that very, very few understand, or that maybe he only understands. Who are you that would do such a thing? The Lord says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, Job, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." A statement. The Lord is bringing to Job what counsel and wisdom is, what dark and hidden wisdom is, what the thinking and the way of God is, and that we are just a long, long way from that. Because he asked him this, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare that, declare if thou hast understanding." And then we know in these chapters the Lord goes on about all the many different things that he has done and many things that he knows. And so back to chapter 42, Job, after the Lord has shown him and spoken to him and shown him so many wondrous things, Job is answering with that question that God answering, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge?" Counsel without knowledge? "It's sure not me. And see, if you're here and you're not saved, you need to get over the fact and your thinking that you know better and that you've got a way that will work before God. You need to get past the point that you think, well, just putting off dealing with the Lord and the Word of God and what God has commanded and the sending of the Son, that that'll just be substance and such to deal with on another day. There are many in the world, and we know of those even in our own lives that we're connected with, that believe that their own counsel is the way that's going to bring them blessing and goodness and life, totally ignoring what God has said. And we know full well they're heading for destruction. Job says, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge?" I've talked about things that I just don't understand about. I've tried to delve into things that I just don't know anything about. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. What Job is saying is, I'm sorry. I've delved off, I've went off into a realm here that I don't even belong dealing with. Better for me just to be quiet and listen. You hear? You understand where we're heading and where the scripture is taking us with this? I know that you can do everything. And Job answered the Lord. The Lord told him to answer him. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything. You've shown it. You've proved it. If you're not saved, that's where you need to be. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. I can't hide from you even inside of me. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? It's sure not me, Lord. It is you. I've dealt with things, I've tried to talk about things that I just don't know about. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I made a statement here, I think, the last service or the service before. To you that are here and not saved, how long have you been around? And how long have you been around and what have you done? And how long has God been around and what has he done? Who ought to be listening to whom? Yes. We need to listen. We all need to listen to him, don't we? We see in Isaiah 55, our Lord declares through Brother Isaiah in verses 6 through 11, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Not dark counsel that we would in our own self-wisdom would come up with, but we need the truth and the wisdom of God. "And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, in our culture, in our society, that's been lost track of. That's just, again, we just think that the Lord's another bud over here that's just, you know, like a Santa Claus, just ready to cash out stuff whenever we need it. Other than that, he can just go back home. He's God Almighty. There is no wisdom against him. The wisdom that we need is his wisdom, his truth. And our brother has been helped even yet more of what he understood many, many things, but he was helped to understand even more of the greatness of God. It goes on to say there in Isaiah 55, and listen to this, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven," I just love this portion, "and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater," just like the rain works with the crops, and to give us food so that we can have physical sustenance to live, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. What's that telling us? God is the one doing, and God is the one speaking, and we need to be listening, and we need to be obeying. Bottom line. No discussion. It's not up for debate. It's the way that it is. And the thing is what the Lord gives unto us in His Word is always what we need as men and women, boys and girls. We've undertaken this in our summer Bible school and doing it differently this year and breaking it up over the months to try to give understanding of the Lord being our Creator and this forming and giving of the family and of husband and wife and father and mother and then the giving of children in that, because that is the only thing that will help our society to recover from our ills. First and foremost, the world needs the gospel and salvation by the Lord. But His ways in living, that's what's needed. And a dedication to those things and an understanding that there's no other way that I would think of, dark counsel, hidden wisdom that I would have that would be better. But what God has given is the best. So shall my word, verse 11, be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. And that's true. You know, listen, the word of God goes out, and from the human standpoint, sinners receive it or sinners reject it. But it will be used, whether it be in blessing for deliverance or whether it be in judgment. It will be used. It will not return. The Lord's word doesn't go out and come back empty. But it shall accomplish that which I please. He's got a purpose and a work indeed. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So Job, I know you can do everything. And sinner, that's what you need to believe and come to. No thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that thinks that he's got some dark and hidden counsel without really knowing what's going on? Job says, not me, Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, we who are saved, we need to have that attitude too. But if you're here and you're not saved, you have no hidden wisdom. You have no hidden counsel. You need what the Lord says. And rather than uttering and dealing with things too wonderful for us, we need to hear what the Lord says and obey Him in it. Brother Job goes on in verse number 4 of chapter 42, and it seems kind of rough to us, but if we delve into it and understand better about the words, we might have the idea that in verse number 4 that Job is getting kind of maybe arrogant and lifted up. But by breaking down the previous verses, we know that's not the case. Job says, hear, I beseech thee. I beg you, Lord, hear me. Hear, I beg you, and I will speak. He's coming from a humbled standpoint. I will demand. And that word demand, we would possibly trip over that word. I know I have in the past. But when we take a look at that word closer, it's speaking about ask or to beg or to desire, or as we pray and make our request. Or we would say, I wish you would do this for me. I can't make you do this for me, but I wish you would do this for me. Here I beg you, and I will speak. I will make my request and desire of thee. And what's he say? And declare. That word declare is speaking of teaching, showing, the giving of understanding unto me. That's what we need as the Lord's children indeed, isn't it? We need instruction from the Lord on knowing how to follow him and to walk with him and to walk humbly with him and to be a good witness of him in the gospel of our Lord Jesus, to take our place in the church where he's placed us and to work in this calling that he's bestowed upon us, to reach others as we were reached by the word of God and the work of God. Job says, "Hear me, Lord. I'm speaking to you. Hear me. Teach me. Show me. Lord, you help me. I don't have anything to say of instruction. I need your help and your instruction." If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you need too. If you don't understand it, I tell you, go to him with it. If you're confused about it, tell him you are confused about it. If you have fears, tell him what those fears are. And ask him to show you. Listen, the Lord is the opener of hearts. He's the opener and the healer of blind eyes. He is the healer of deaf ears. He is the one that can touch sinners, the only one that can help. Job said, "I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." Could this be that Brother Job learned what he had known to date? He knew many things that are evidenced in the previous chapters. And as it was in this day, if we understand in his day, the word of God was not existent yet, right? That came with Moses. And depending on where you place Job in time, whether he's in the time of Israel, maybe the time of the judges, if he's in the time of Abraham possibly, or before, you know, the word of God doesn't come until Moses writes the Pentateuch. So what Job knew had been handed down generation to generation. Adam taught his children what he had learned from God and what God had given him. And so it was. And Enoch did the same. And Noah did the same. And on down the line, that's what they had then. Whatever the Lord had shown them and appeared unto them and dealt with them as he was dealing with families, and dealing with men and heads of houses and that. Is Job referring to that? "I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear." Is he speaking about what the Lord has revealed to him from chapter 38 and on, where the Lord is speaking to him and reminding him and teaching him things maybe that he hadn't thought of before or did not know? He said that was the place where he was at. He'd heard God. He'd heard of thee by the ear. But he declares, "But now my eye seeth thee." Was the Lord manifested in the whirlwind and to him? Or was it the declaration of the things that the Lord had given in those chapters to help Job to consider about the great work of God just only on this earth and in the universe, where he saw the Lord greater than he'd ever seen the Lord before? If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you need. We who are saved need that too. But if you're here and you're not saved, you need to see the Lord in his greatness and his fullness. Because look what Brother Job says after that. "I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." We have the great blessing of having these New Testament scriptures that tell us about the Son who came and became a man and lived perfectly because he is divine without sin and gave himself on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again from the dead, took back his life. We've got even a more full picture than Job had. And that's what you that are here and not saved need to receive. We who are saved, we need to rejoice and praise our Lord and seeing more of that. Job says in verse 6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job said, I should have been listening and not talking. I should have been not relying and seeking into my own counsel. Although there were times that Job, he deferred to the Lord, didn't he? And those were good. But he said, that's what I should have done. But now that I see you, now that I see you like I've never have before, I abhor myself. In me dwelleth no good thing. And Job says, I repent. I repent in the greatest way that I can repent. If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to see the Lord as He is, and you need to see yourself as you is. You are a sinner, wicked, vile, condemned before God, and justly so. No cruelty of God at hand. His justice demands that sin be punished. His holiness demands that sin be dealt with. And without Christ, the end of that is an eternal damnation and condemnation and hell in the lake of fire forever. And it's just. But seeing the Lord and hearing the Lord and hearing what the Lord has done that sinners like you and me can be saved, receiving that, not having your own plan or your own way, but receiving what Christ has done, repenting before God that you're guilty, that you have no wisdom, you have no ability, you have no words to say, and trusting in the Lord, trusting in His wisdom, His power, His Son, what He has said, His dark and hidden counsel that He's revealed. Amen. From eternity, this has been the Lord's design and purpose. It wasn't always revealed. But we live in a day where it's been fully revealed. There's no questions. There's no gaps. There's no holes. There's no part seemingly missing. It's all at hand. Christ Jesus is all in all. Brother Job declares the gospel indeed.